Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the very first edition of the Bobby Mo Football Show, live on TV.
We're on TV.
Hi, Mom.
Hi. All you said, I'll never make it.
With special guest Luke Gios, of course, who is not normally here. We had Greg Sutton, our first guest. It's usually just us two, but Yost has decided to join us for this one.
You know, he's a lot prettier than Greg. That's actually why we put him on.
I have more hair.
Well, that's not fair. That's a low blow. I hope Greg hears that.
That's just a high blow. It's up there.
And calling Greg ugly was acceptable.
It was okay.
You're right. All right. Yeah, okay. That was wrong.
You're two both gorgeous gentlemen. Let's just end it at that.
All right. So, Bobby Mo Football Show. Clearly, the first thing that we need to talk about, all right, Robert Morris coming off this 56-35 homecoming loss. Now, the loss looks worse than it was in terms of the overall game, because Robert Morris, for the most part, was in that game. It was back and forth, scoring, neither team really able to make a stop. That was kind of the big thing that I noticed. The elephant in the room is the 699 yards that the defense allowed. So, guys, from you, I just want your thoughts about the game, Robert Morris football in general. What did you see from Robert Morris in this game?
For me, from my perspective, you know, we were at the game. You and I were at the game. Mike called it. But anyway, Mike called it. And, like, we can all agree that up until that last interception with, 4 minutes to go, it was a two-possession ball game. It was a winnable game for Robert Morris. And they were in that situation with Bryant. They beat VSU in a very close game. If they can just finish the fourth quarter, I think they're going to be fine. But as far as the defense is concerned, if this week isn't the week to panic, then when is it? When is they're at almost 700 yards of total offense against your defense. When do you go, oh, okay, yeah, let's actually, you know, look at this from a overall point. You know, Bryant was all about missed tackles. And we talked to Coach Clark today, said nothing about missed tackles. It was all, it's the coach's fault. We got to put those guys in position to make tackles.
He did say tackling was an issue, though.
But anyway. Just cut that out.
My word, Yost.
I was watching football.
This is why we don't put him on. This is why, sorry, that you're out. But you're just going to have to wait.
That's fine.
But what he was saying was this game was a lot closer than the score did say. And there were some times in that game where, despite the fact that Robert Morris couldn't stop or provide any resistance whatsoever against CCSU, there were some chances in there where RMU could have come back and tied when they were down two scores. The first instance I can think of is right before halftime. You come in off that weather delay, you have 40 seconds left, you're down two touchdowns, so you're on what? They were on what? The 34-ish yard line? They weren't right up against the goal line, but they were in striking distance. With 40 seconds left, I believe they might have had a timeout or two as well. And they come back, and the thing, while they had the possession, they could have scored there, and they were getting the ball back after halftime, which I think is huge. Those two possessions right there, and then maybe you get a stop, and you're back to that trading blows game where it's you guys score, we score. They score, Robert Morris scores. But they decided to run a speed option or something like that with Walker right out of the break after they had already taken a sack on first down before the lightning break. So it was second and 21. They decided to go with the speed option, gained 3 yards. Third and 18, they had to throw it down the field, and then they ended up having to kick a long field goal, which Biseglia missed. Granted, it was a very long field goal. I don't blame him for that at all. He just came up short. So instead of getting something out of that, they ended up getting absolutely nothing, and I believe they might have scored right back after halftime. Well, yeah, they did, because CCSU's defense didn't play much better. RMU's offense was really good. But then there was that fumble opportunity where the Colonials stopped, or in the second half, rather, where the Colonials got the ball back. They could have went down and added another touchdown, cut that lead in half. And they ended up punting, which I believe they punted. It was 4th and 1 on the RMU 40-yard line. But there was 7 minutes left in the game at that point. So I'm thinking, sitting there up in the booth thinking, this got to be a fake punt, right? Why are they sending this?
We talked about that too because we were there.
Why were they sending the punt team out? It's 1 yard. Your defense hasn't provided any resistance up until this point in the game. That I believe the fumble at the goal line, it ended up being the first time Robert Morris, maybe the, oh, no, they punted later in the game, but I believe the first time that Robert Morris was able to stop the Blue Devils. So I'm thinking to myself, they got to be going for it. And this might, actually recalling back, this might not be that particular instance right after the fumble, but that was another play call where I was scratching my head where you could claw back into this thing and it's now or never. You're down two touchdowns. There's 7 minutes left in the game. Each first down that CCU gets, they could take 2 minutes off the clock just by waiting to snap the ball. So
and that's if your defense makes a stop.
Exactly. And RMU's defense up until that point had shown that they had struggled doing that, obviously allowing 699 total yards throughout the course of the game. So that was one of those things where I was like, I thought they should have went for it there, maybe claw back a touchdown. But
So let's be clear with something, though, Mike, because you're sitting here and you're talking about, you know, if the offense had done this, if they had run this play, if they had done that. None of that is a problem if you make a stop
absolutely.
On defense. I mean, the team put up what was the eighth best offensive performance in the history of Robert Morris. When you put up 487 yards and you score 35 points, you should be able to win a football game.
Definitely.
And the fact that Robert Morris has put up 35 points, they've put up 46 points, they put up 28 points in a game, and they have won none of those football games, I'm not blaming the offense. Jimmy Walker is running a phenomenal offense. That offensive line is arguably one of the best in the NEC. The fact that the defense has 3 sacks in 5 games, the corners can't seem to cover anybody. They can't seem to fill the edges.
The middle of that defense,
they're running zone, man, doesn't matter, has been the problem all season. You watched even Virginia State going back that far. Virginia State's quarterback torched just the middle of the field. He would run option plays and just cut back up the middle, and he was
and
gone
that,
for
see,
15.
And that's – I'm not trying to blame the offense because the offense certainly did their part. However, I'm saying you might have to be a little bit more aggressive with your play calling when your defense for the entirety of the season hasn't been able to stop anybody.
And did that defense even commit a turnover at all against CCSU, other than the two fumble recoveries and special teams?
There was a fumble recovery on the goal line, too.
Dolgala was – they ran, I believe it was a speed option. He kept it, and the defensive back punched it out of his hands while he was cutting up into the hole.
And that's great, but, again, those turnovers only do so much when you're letting up 11.2 yards per play. I mean, they're averaging a first down play.
Yeah.
That's,
I think there was a stretch even, like, in the first quarter, sorry to cut you off, where they literally – what, 2 drives, I think it was, where every play they picked up a first down for 2 drives. And I remember I was calling the game with Spencer Witt. Spencer was doing play-by-play. And at one point, I think I remarked, Spencer, I think that's the first time in, like, a while that we've seen CCSU not pick up a first down on first down. And they'd still picked up, like, 9 yards or something like that on the first down play, which when you're giving up that many yards on first down, second and third down, it's going to be so hard because just stopping a team to getting 1 yard is an incredibly difficult task. On third down, it's a little bit easier of a task, and obviously when they have 2 downs to do it. And not only that, it opens up the playbook to so many different options. You can run a play action pass and hit them deep, or you could just go and pick up the first down on second and short. So even though I don't think CCU necessarily threw the ball downfield a whole lot, there was a couple big plays where they had guys open downfield, but a lot of what they did was that option and draw handoff and the read option and dumps off into the flat that ended up, they'd dump it off into a flat and they'd still get, what, 15 yards out of
the
deal.
The pursuit of the ball has been very...
Yeah,
and that's where tackling kind of comes back into it as well. Although, I think it was worse in previous weeks. It still wasn't up to snuff, and there was a couple big plays. I forget which drive it was. I want to say it was, I forget what the situation was, but they ran a simple curl route. The defensive back missed the tackle, and CCSU ended up taking it down to like the goal line or somewhere in there, and then they ended up on the next play running it in with a handoff. But still, making that tackle, make the offense work. Make them run those extra plays because CCSU was fairly undisciplined, you know, holding penalty, or they had a couple false starts, I want to say. So make them make a mistake even. Just it's a lot easier to do that when to stop them on defense when you're making the stops and making them run those extra plays as opposed to just letting them get it all in big chunks.
Yeah. So taking a step back, that begs the question here. So if you're looking at this Robert Morris team, 5 games into an 11-game season, they're sitting at 1-4, 0-2 in conference. Realistically, Robert Morris needs to win out to have a chance of winning the conference. But that isn't necessarily the focus. It's the first year of a new head coach for a program that struggled traditionally. In your opinion, guys, how many wins does Bernard Clark need to end with this season for this to be considered a successful season?
I would say in the realm of 4 or 5. I think, you know, they've won what? They won 2 games last year and one game the year before.
Two the year before.
So four wins in two years is not good for anybody. But if you can have a guy that comes in here, and they always talk about, you know, changing the culture, we're going to make this team better. We've seen a better offense, yes, but the defense has been awful. So if he can get 4 wins at the end of the year, I think it'll be successful enough to be like, okay, there's something here. There is substance here that we can build on top of in the years ahead of us.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
I think 4 is right on the mark. I even said that at the beginning of the year, looking at who they have left. I don't know if it's going to be an upset this year, because looking at Duquesne's statistics, their defense is pretty average, and their offense is towards the bottom of the pack. RMU has one of the better, well, not one of the better, but a better offense than Duquesne. And you also have to take into account that, like, the statistics are fairly skewed based off the simple point that that RMU game against James Madison, I don't think anyone in the NEC has really come up with a team. Well, they did play Ball State, or CCSU did play Ball State.
And Duquesne played Hawaii.
And Duquesne did play Hawaii, but James Madison's such a large gap in talent there that those games from that, the statistics from that kind of weigh down RMU a ton, because they played so poorly in that game. But
see, you say it weighs them down a ton. That's 1 game out of 5 now. And if you look at the rest of these games, like, Robert Morris let up 699 yards. They let up...
Well, I'm talking offensively. Looking at the offensive statistics, yes.
Yes.
Because the defense has been bad across the board, yes, no matter who the opponent has been.
Okay.
I even said that against Virginia State, because that was a Division II team, and Virginia State has a kicker. This team doesn't have a win yet. So looking at this, I think they could upset Duquesne this weekend. I don't think that would be it's going to be a good game. Duquesne's offense is, I think, like 6th and something in the conference in, like, total offense. So they're not, like I said, not that great. I think they're going to beat Central State. So that puts them at 3 wins for the year, and I think they're going to beat Wagner at the end. I have them losing to St. Francis, who we saw, I believe, beat or played Dayton closely at some point, I remember. Yeah. Sacred Heart, who's been on a roll. They've arguably been the best team in the conference.
I believe that they're the favorite to win the NEC,
yes,
right now.
And Eastern Kentucky, who you and I talked a few weeks ago, had that as a win for them. And you're like, hold your horses. Eastern Kentucky is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So that's in Kentucky as well. But I do have them beating Wagner at the end of the season,
yeah,
to kind of cap that off. But I think 4 wins is reasonable. That's where I had them at. If they don't beat Duquesne, 3. I truly do believe they'll beat Wagner.
Yeah.
And Virginia in Central State, sorry.
Yeah. I would agree. I think 4 wins is a reasonable mark, and like you said, you have to look at the games that are actually winnable. Any game in conference is winnable, and that Central State game should be a win, cuz the Central State's a bad Division II team. So, yeah, I would say if they can walk out with 4 wins, and to me it's not just the wins, it's the performance. If you can see the performance, that's great. You know, again, if the offense continues to perform well, that is a successful season to me for a team that hasn't had a really great offense for a long time. With that being said, we're going to move on to our next segment, where it's kind of a game for you guys. So this is Luke and Mike. I want to see what you guys have. It's called Truth or Lies. So I'm going to give you guys a statement, and you have to tell me whether you believe that's truth and you believe that will happen, or you believe that's a lie and that is not true in any sense. So the first one here, we're going to talk about the offense that's performed great. Specifically, running back Elijah Jackson. He's had back-to-back 100-yard games. He was the first 100-yard rusher 2 weeks ago since 2015, since Cole Blake did it in 2015. So, Elijah Jackson winning his second straight NEC Rookie of the Week. Will Elijah Jackson win the NEC Rookie of the Year? Is that a truth or a lie?
I'm gonna say truth on that.
I like
that
it
one.
Too. I'm on the Elijah
now,
Jackson.
Now, granted,
bandwagon.
I'm on the Elijah Jackson bandwagon as well. I'm very excited to see what he's gonna do over the course of his time at Robert Morris University. However, I don't know what all the other rookies in the NEC are doing, but if he's won it 2 weeks in a row in conference play, I think that has something to say. And I expect, barring injuries, that it's going to continue because that offensive line has done a great job of opening up holes, even for Terrence Stevens, who I believe ended up with 94 yards and hardly didn't touch the ball that often. He had 74 on that one play. I think it was the Colonials' first play from scrimmage that they ran where he busted off for 74 yards. But Jackson is interesting because he has that quick burst of pace where he could just get around the edge and grab that quick 15 yards. I don't think he has quite the top end speed where he's just blowing by everyone on the field, but he's quick enough to where those quick little short hitters, if like 20, 30 yards away, he's quick enough to get that 30 yards is fast enough to beat out the rest of your defense. So I do think he has the potential to win rookie of the year.
All right. So next one for you guys. And again, if you've watched these games, you saw the incredible Anthony Delafamine catch where he's tripping over the Central Connecticut defender and he still managed to keep his focus and make the catch. Additionally, he made some really impressive catches against Bryant as well. He's had over 100 receiving yards combined in the last two games, consistently been at the top of the receptions list for Robert Morris as of recently. Do you believe that Anthony Delafamine is the best receiver for this Robert Morris football team? Truth or lies?
I think it's the truth. Here's my thought about it. I've looked at like the numbers over the past weeks, and Delafamine is always at the top as far as wide receivers.
Yeah.
But then the next couple guys are Matthew Gonzalez, Steve Petrick, both tight ends. He's the best pure wide receiver that Army football has right now. That's just the facts.
It's definitely close between him and Vecchio as the best pure wide receiver.
Are you a little biased, Penn Trafford grad right here?
TV 12.
No, I'm not. I'm just looking at the statistics here. Vecchio has more yards. He has one more touchdown. He has three more receptions. Same amount of games played. So the statistics give the slight nod to Vecchio. However, he saw more use against Dayton. I don't think we hardly saw Delafamine at all against Dayton. So actually, he has more than that. I was looking at Delano Madison's numbers. So Delafamine has four games played, nine receptions, 125 yards, no touchdowns, a long of 23, averages 31.2 a game. I think
Timmy Vecchio has a full game of
but his
catches.
His averages, he averages 2 yards less. Yeah, 2 yards less per reception, but he still averages more per game than Delafamine. Delafamine, of course, what, redshirt freshman, correct?
Yeah.
So, pardon me, Vecchio is still what, junior?
Yeah.
I think by the end of the season, the statistics are saying right now that Vecchio is the better receiver, but I think AD ball out is the better of the two. But I think on the team, when I see receiving, you got to account for tight ends and running backs because that's just where football is right now.
Yeah.
And I think Matthew Gonzalez has earned that title.
He's the best ball catcher Rob Morris has.
Yeah. Right now. 18 receptions, 317 yards, 17.6 average, 5 touchdowns, and of course that long 81-yarder against Virginia State. And even against Central Connecticut State, he was fantastic. Down the seam, him and Walker have great chemistry there, although the one he got laid out on, I don't know if you caught that one, it was tipped at the line or something, and the safety caught him running across the field and blindsided him pretty good. He was able to come back, but if you lose him, that is a major cog in your passing game. He's a big body receiver, and he's kind of like the current day NFL tight end where he's down the seam, and it's real hard to cover him because he's faster than a linebacker, he's bigger than a cornerback, or a defensive back rather, so he creates that coverage issue. But I think and the two wide receivers, Vecchio and Delafamine, because I see there's a little bit of a gap between them and everyone else on that receiving core. I think it's gonna kill me a little bit to go with the Norwin boy, but I'm gonna have to go with Delafamine.
All right, so this leads me to our last truth or lie. Now, I think both of you would agree that the Robert Morris offensive line might be one of the strongest parts of this team this season. Do you believe that this Robert Morris offensive line is the best in the conference? Truth or lie?
It's hard to say. It's really hard to say because you know, you try to compare it to how the defense is played against other teams' offensive lines, but the defensive line is bad, not good, not even like they're below average. They're just bad, right? So when you have a team like Robert Morris who is keeping, because last year we saw a lot of times Jimmy Walker's laid on his back just with the ball sacked every, it seemed like every possession he was sacked at least one time. So this team's gotten better up front, but at the same time, you know, they're the best offensive line that I've seen at Robert Morris over the past couple years. That's just my opinion.
I'm not going to put him at one. I'm going to put him at two behind Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart has more rushing offense. Sacred Heart is one better in scoring offense. They're two better in total offense altogether. So just based upon that, I'm going to have to give them the slight edge. However, when you go to look at sacks against, Robert Morris has allowed, a total of five. What in the world is this NEC? I apologize. Where Sacred Heart has allowed 12. It's just messed up. So Sacred Heart has allowed a lot more sacks. So I'm going to give it not a 1 and 2 necessarily, but like a 1A and a 1B that's very close. And I'm going to put Robert Morris in that 1B slot.
So let's be clear. It was a truth for you.
Yes.
And it was a lie for you.
It was a fib. Right down the middle.
It's a fib. It's a fib. A lie is
wow,
a little bit
we're
going
to have a third category. A fib. The first one. Am I going to have to? It's a fib. We're going to have to workshop
like
this.
Forrest Gump's mama said, a little white lie every now and then. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you guys for participating in Truth or Lies.
Yeah.
So we'll come back next week when we play again. You're both winners.
We pretty much said the same thing, but you got a little fib in there.
I won.
All right, so with the rest of this show, we got to take a look at the upcoming matchup. The Steel City Showdown.
Good old Duquesne's coming to town.
Robert Morris Duquesne.
We're going to Duquesne.
So, oh, Duquesne.
Yes.
0-1 in conference. 3-3 overall.
Okay.
You know that. Yeah, they have the second worst offense in the NEC and the third worst defense in the NEC, allowing 391 yards per game. So the only thing that's notable about them is they have the best third down conversion, which is actually ahead of Robert Morris.
Oh, boy.
And as we know, yikes. Robert Morris struggles in preventing stops on third down. So,
oh, boy.
Let's clarify this. I think it's fair to say the reason they struggle to get off the field on third down is because they struggle on every down.
Yes. So it's always third and short.
Yeah, it's always
so
it's like always third and one, short. Like third and one through like third and three. Like you don't see
there's not a third and nine or a third and ten where you know they're throwing the ball. It's
but even if it is a third and ten,
even if it's
pass coverage is still very
So when you're looking at this matchup, one that did not end well for Robert Morris last year. Let's be clear. The final score of that game was 51-14 in favor of Duquesne. Nice. Here at Joe Walton Stadium at Robert Morris.
Was that homecoming last year?
That was not homecoming last year.
That is correct.
Homecoming. Wasn't homecoming CCSU last year again?
You got me there. I don't know.
I think it was. I don't know.
That's not important. Anyways, the important thing is this matchup. Well, we can figure that out after the show.
We can. We won't, though.
So
probably not.
Like I said, I think RMU can pull this one out. The defense got to stop them, though. The defense can't allow 699.
Yeah, let's not throw the 700 out there. That's not fair, right?
Yards of offense against them and allow 56 points again. That's the major factor. If the defense can play half decent, they don't have to be great. They don't have to hold Duquesne to 13 points or something like that. Just can we keep it under 30 for a week? Can they keep it under 30?
So
I think that's a reasonable goal. Yeah.
So I don't want to be that guy that points to the weather, but it's going to be very cold. You know how it's been really hot here? It's going to be very, very cold.
It's in October in Pittsburgh, ladies and gentlemen.
It's going to start to feel like fall weather. And
football weather. They come to play.
So that's going to be one of those things where, like, the weather gets a little colder. That ball stings a little bit more when it hits you. I think that could be a potential factor for both sides.
Well, good thing Robert Morris is in last place in rushing and passing defense, Sam.
Well, so I mean, when they allow 699 yards in one game, they're not going to have high defensive ranks.
So like, that means that Duke – and I honestly think teams haven't even gone to the full passing capabilities yet because they've been able to just do it on the ground and run against this team at will. And if it's cold and nasty, guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be running the ball. And Robert Morris
that's a very fair point.
Hasn't shown anything that they're going to be able to stop the run. And this is coming from a guy that thinks RMU is going to win the game because I think the offense is that good. Because if you think about it too, stat sheet, Duquesne's rushing defense, they're number four. So they're all right. Worse than Central Connecticut State, though.
Interesting.
Central Connecticut State, third best in the conference. Duquesne's fifth or fourth. So I think Elijah Jackson is going to go off again.
I think
Jimmy Walker, who's been fantastic the past 2 weeks,
yeah,
or the past two games, rather, because they had that bye week in between there. He's done a great job of securing the ball. Yes, he had the interception. I believe that was Robert Morris's only turnover. So that's another big thing. The turnovers are coming down. We're seeing that progressively lowered. They had three against Bryant. They had only that one against Central Connecticut State. So in that one, I'm going to pin that one on Walker. It was a bad throw. He threw it to Vecchio. It was kind of behind him and high. Vecchio tried to make a one-handed grab, tipped it up in the air, and right into the arms of a Blue Devils defender. But I think with the offensive line that the Colonials have and Jackson and Stevens, and then they're going to hit you with the play action, then hit Gonzalez over top on the screen, I think that offense could put up, I'm going to say the F word, 50 points.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I made this claim on Twitter against Virginia State.
Because all tweets are completely 100%
accurate.
Hot takes.
Yeah.
Accurate.
100%. I said that Robert Morris would put up what would be the greatest offensive performance of all time, which had to be, if I believe I'm remembering this correctly, it was about 565 yards. Now, Michael Shuley, do you believe that with that 50 points, yep, greatest offensive performance of all time? Are you making that statement right now?
You said 565?
565. They had 487 against
Central Connecticut. Let me look up the stat sheet.
Here. He's stalling right now. That's what he's doing. He can't make that claim.
I'm competing.
Luke Yost, while he's doing that, what do you think?
Hold on. Oh, yeah. Answer that one. Answer that one.
I'm buying you time.
I don't need time.
I'm going to jump on the Mike Shuley Express here with the 50 points.
Greatest offensive performance of all time?
Without looking it up, yeah, probably. Because this is going to be a game where Rob Morris is going to reset the defense. Because you can do it against a team who is second worst offenses in the NEC.
That's a good point.
Like, you're going to be able to reset your defense here. You're going to get back to basics, back to fundamentals. You've had times where they showed, I don't want to say glimmers of hope, but there was a little bit of like, oh yeah, they could actually be semi-good here. And now you're going to get a team that's supposed to be, I don't want to say a cupcake game, but like is going to be an easier team.
They're struggling right now. I think it's fair to say Duquesne's struggling.
Yeah, I think so
bit.
Too.
And you're going to be able to reset your defense here, and that's what's going to give them that necessary, maybe not turnovers, but they're going to get a lot more possessions. You're going to stop them. They're going to get a lot more, you know, punts are going to be a big deal in this game. And yeah, they're going to be able to put up the 50 points, you know, 560 plus yards.
So Mike Shuley, yes, greatest offensive performance
565
of all time.
565.
You can even give me a number where they're going to rank all
a
time.
A lot of offense.
If they're going to get there, if they're going to be top 10, give me a number.
Well,
you said 487.
Defensive performance rank. That might be number two this season behind James Madison. How many yards did the Dukes put up?
700 something.
Yeah, it was 700 something.
It was like 725 or something.
You raise a good point though about Duquesne's offense not being that great, but CCSU's offense also last week coming into the game wasn't that great either. They were pretty smack dab average, actually.
Every team's done about the same thing to Robert Morris besides Virginia State, you could say. And then besides James Madison, who was above and beyond what you're going to get in the NEC.
And those two teams there, James Madison's up here, CCSU's down here.
They're anomalies compared to what you're going to expect if you're Robert Morris for the rest of the season.
I do like him, though. I think out of the two teams, I think Virginia State is the closest to an NEC caliber team, rather.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm going to stop dancing around your question here, though. 565. I'm going to say not quite.
So give me a number.
Ooh, they're going to come close.
500 yards at least.
Yes, I'm.
You say top five greatest offensive performance of all time.
Well, I don't know what their top five is. Like, what numbers they would have.
If it was above 500, it would be.
If it was?
Yeah.
It would put them in the top five? Yeah. I think they're going to go, let's go 515. Okay. I think is a reasonable number. I'm going to say they're going to run. I think Stevens and Jackson both go off for over 100 yards.
Okay.
I'm going to say.
When was the last time that happened? 200-yard rushers.
It's been a while. I know that it was going to be
the first time.
They came
close last week.
They did. They came really close.
Had 94.
6 yards away.
Yeah, but I know it's been a while.
Yeah, I could see them both going off for big games. Through the air, I could see. Could we see Jimmy Walker's first 300 of the season?
I think so.
Through the air, I could see that. I think Gonzalez is going to have a big game again. He's been phenomenal. One of the best tight ends in FCS he's shown to be this year. Not even just in the NEC. I'm going to say final of this one, we're going to go 56. I'm jumping again here, but I think they're going to put up 56 points. So that's what, eight touchdowns? So I'm 515 yards, yeah. Right. So not quite, but good.
All right. So now that we have Mike Shuley's offensive prediction, we're just going to go right into predictions here as we're winding down here at the end of the show. So. We'll start with you, Mike, since you did give us the first number. So who's going to win, and what's the score going to be?
For the first time this year, I think, I'm picking the Colonials to win.
This is the first time I can confirm.
Surely shock picks on armucentralmedia.com will be very interesting this week.
Plug it.
Shameless plug.
Plug. 56 to... Ooh. Trying to think, do some quick maths in my head here of like... common score possibilities when Robert Morris gives up a ton of points on defense again. 56-52. It's going to be a close one, but the Colonials are going to get the edge.
Really?
I think they're going to give up over 400 yards of defense again.
It's going to be a wild game.
It's going to be a shootout. That's why this team is so intriguing is the offense is so good, and the defense has just been so bad that it's still fun to watch that Bryant game. Yeah. I went to work. I'm driving to work. I get to work. I pull it up. I'm like, wait a minute. They're winning here. They're winning here. It's 46-42. Where'd this come from? And then they ended up giving up that touchdown late. The Dayton game. It was, what, a one-possession, two-possession game at halftime? They got the ball. That was not as big of a blowout as the score shown it to be. The Virginia State game was just
train wreck.
Well, I'll put that one on the weather. I'll give that one to the weather because that game was miserable.
It was wet. It was
and
cold.
The ball was slipping all over the place. Obviously, James Madison's just a wash right there. But, yeah, it's going to be a shootout. Buckle up. I'll be the Emmys.
Luke Yost, your turn.
I'm taking the Colonials.
All right.
52-14.
What? Wow. So one up them.
Wow.
I think the Colonials, the defense is going to come to play this
statement
week.
Statement game.
Yeah.
Do you want to put a dollar on how low or how many points Duquesne will score? Want to set an over under?
What's the over under? What are we going to go?
We're going to discuss this afterwards because we're running out of time and I want to make my pick. So
I'm gonna bet. And when you take your dollar on that one.
So my prediction, I think both of you are wrong. I don't think this is going to be that great of an offensive performance.
Really?
I think it's going to be cold. I think that's going to come into play. I think it's going to be – you're going to see a little bit more defense, emphasis on little bit. 35-31, Robert Morris sneaks away with their first conference win, but it's going to be a tight one. So on that note, guys – thanks so much for tuning in for the very first web show. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us.
You get to see our faces now.
I know, which is rough. You see, we dressed up for this event.
Yeah.
but more next you can catch all of these broadcasts on, you can listen to them on RMU Radio, but you can also catch this live on RMUcentralMedia.com and on RMU TV's YouTube channel. We're going to be back every Tuesday for all of this RMU football goodness. So thank you so much for tuning in to the Bobby Moe Football Show, and we'll see you next week.